to episode 107 of Eat, Drink, Write, and Urban Fantasy Whiteboard. And by the way, last week I did listen to what I said. I did say episode 6.
I thought so. I was pretty sure.
I was like, I didn't say that. And then I was editing. I'm like, oh, I said that.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay.
107, guys, of Eat, Drink, Write, and Urban Fantasy Whiteboard. And today we're going to talk about the pitch because we keep saying we're going to do it. So we're going to do it.
Very exciting.
But first, how was your week?
So it's been fine, I guess.
It's fine. It's all just fine.
I guess, kind of. It's, I'm less than a month out from graduation and, for those of you who don't know how, graduate school, whatever, but I have to give a defense. And so I give this big presentation and that's the part that I'm most nervous about. You know, I pretty much know I'm going to pass. I'm going to graduate. It's totally fine. But I'm just nervous. And so I've gotten most of my things done. I turned in my thesis for a format check this week and, it's complete. So my advisor has it so that she can look over it and go through it and, you know, tear it apart, whatever.
And then you'll have to rewrite it or just edit.
Yeah. Okay. So it won't be a complete rewrite or anything. Cause you know, two of the things in there I've already written and have been, already edited. So like, I have 5 chapters. 2 of those are pretty much done. It's the other 3 and those aren't really going to be an issue.
The light is at the end of the tunnel.
Either that or the ground is getting closer as I fall.
Oh, I don't like that.
You know, it depends on how you look at things. So, moment, I view it as the ground. Maybe after my defense, it'll be the light at the end of the tunnel kind of thing. Funny. But, you know, we'll see how it goes.
She's going to be so drunk that week after she does her graduation that we probably won't have an episode that week. I'm just warning you ahead of time.
We'll see. Definitely not going to record on the Monday. That is my defense. No, definitely not. And then, I was supposed to have a talk the next day, like a general lab meeting presentation or whatever after my defense. And really? I straight up told my advisor, I was like, I'm not going to be there that day. And she was like, oh no, like absolutely not. So it was fine and no problem at all. But, no, my week's been okay. It's been, just making my presentation slides and like that kind of stuff. You're making a weird face.
1, 2, 3 weeks.
You don't have to count out the weeks that I have left. You don't have to do that. That's not necessary. I know how many weeks I have left.
Oh my Lord. It's coming. Okay. You're going to be fine. You're going to do great.
I know. Well, how was your week?
Crappy.
Yeah.
That was nicer than the word I would like to use.
Well, you know, we don't say that this is a PG podcast.
That's
so
true.
Whatever you want.
It could have an explicit rate. Some weeks we have.
I guarantee I have sworn on this podcast. Yes.
Yeah. It's just been, this whole month has been really hard. I've had a lot of court. We had a mandatory seminar I had to go to. Of course, we missed that week.
Right.
I mean, it's just too much to do, too little time.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Well, what are you eating and drinking?
Well, I'm not eating yet. We're going to have salad.
That makes the drinking that much more fun.
Absolutely. we're going to have salad for dinner.
That doesn't sound sustainable.
It's great. We got these, vinegars and... olive oils. Sorry for those of you who are listening, I have had a glass of wine already, so that's what I'm drinking clearly. But we got the vinegars and oils from Helen when we went up there for vacation, and so we like to mix those and use those on our salads. They're delicious.
What do you put meat and stuff in your salad, or is it just veggies? Or
so we have some bacon bits for this one, but like we mix it up. So, bacon bits for this one, but we also have, we do boiled eggs every now and then and chop up some boiled eggs into it. And it's pretty good. It's pretty awesome.
Well, I made a soup tonight that it's just up there. Cause I knew your dad and sister would be hungry while we were doing this. And that was something they can eat on and I can eat whenever we get done, but my mouth is watering. It's a sausage soup. Ooh. I used a tube of sausage. I've never made it before. I just kind of made it up.
Well, tell us about it.
Yeah, it's a tube of sausage, and then I threw in onions and a bunch of garlic, and then I added chicken broth and canned chopped tomatoes, and cream cheese and spinach.
Wow. That sounds good.
Oh, and Parmesan cheese.
I'm going to need you to like drive over here. It's only 45 minutes.
And the spoonful I tasted before I came down. Oh, and cream. And the spoonful I tasted was really good. So
wow, that sounds good. Can you, well, maybe you can post it for our listeners as well, but I would like to have like a general idea of what that recipe is. Cause I know you don't measure things.
Yeah, so. I don't, but it was really good. The spoonful I had was really good.
It was very good.
Hopefully the rest of it is too, but that's what I'll eat after we get done. But I am drinking my wine. I wanted to make a cocktail, but I have court tomorrow, so we're not going to do that.
Fair enough.
I can have a glass of wine.
Yeah. My fiance and I were on the way home and we were like, you know, I think we're going to go home and have a drink or whatever. And I was like, yeah, I agree. And, I was like, you know, I was thinking earlier, wine sounds really good. And she was like, oh, wine sounds great. And we were like, do you want to stop? And we both said at the same time, do you want to stop at that liquor store on the way home? And we were like, yes. So we stopped and I'm drinking a nice red wine.
That's lovely. Yeah. I'm not a big red wine fan, but as my sister says, it's because I haven't had the right red wine.
Look, I was not a fan of wine until I went to Spain with my older sister.
That would do it.
Yes. And I was, I liked white wine a lot and I don't like it anymore as much, and went to Spain and we had red wine. We did like bar hopping type thing over in Barcelona.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And we, and then the tapas thing is a huge, huge thing there. And they would bring us glasses of wine and it was always red wine. And so, yeah, no, I became a huge fan of red wine after that.
Yeah, Aunt Debbie, my sister, loves her red wines. And she keeps saying she's going to teach me. She said, you know, you keep saying you don't like red wine, I'm going to change that. And we haven't had time to do that. We need a sister trip at some point.
Well, invite me. Well, I guess it's a sister trip, but I would like to go.
Yeah, maybe we could have all the cousins too. We honestly haven't done a cousin trip in a while, you know, with all
that. No, we haven't.
We did it. Used to do it for Nana's birthdays.
Birthday. Yeah.
Gotten a little too aged to be able to go travel much. I think she could do it, but she's so concerned about Grandpa.
Yeah.
Because he's weak.
That's true. That's true.
But she also keeps falling down and breaking things. Just for our listeners, she fell and broke a rib. What? 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago.
Well, yeah, it was 2 weeks ago, I think. And she just didn't tell anybody.
Oh yeah. So. She didn't tell us until a week after it had happened.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's another reason why this week has been awful. It's just, and my dad has got health issues and it's just
it's been hectic. Yeah. It's been hectic.
Days. So yeah, I've got to go up to Virginia, which also may affect our recording.
Because yeah, just as a heads up, guys, the coming weeks are going to be insane. So
they are.
if we're a little bit late or, you know, have to do a couple of episodes to make up for it on the back end, we'll do that. But
speaking of, we're going to be late with the
myths and monsters.
I know what I want to talk about, but I haven't had time to research it. And I know tomorrow's April 1st and that's when it's supposed to be. But
for sure. It's supposed to be today. But it's
last day of the month.
Yeah. Oh, it's fine. We're good.
All right. Let's talk pitches. And not baseball pitches.
No, okay. Not at all.
All right. What is a pitch? And there's lots of definitions that we're going to read through and we'll tell you our thoughts on them. But this one of them is a pitch is the verbal delivery of the main pitch paragraph from your query letter.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting because I've also been told not to take from your query letter. We'll get into that later.
Let's get into that later.
In other words, you need to have a quick way to sum up the opening plot catalyst of your novel in a sentence or two while talking to someone.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting definition of a pitch because that sounds more like an elevator pitch to me. Like if you have like a sentence or two.
Which that's a thing too.
And I have some notes on that too. Yeah. So we'll get to the elevator pitch, but I feel like a pitch where you go to a conference or whatever, or what you're meeting with an agent and you have a pitch. I feel like that's very different than a 1 to 2 sentence thing. You know, they want to hear a little bit more about, you know, what you're writing and you want to sum up your story, but but you don't want to be extraneous with it, I think is what it's trying to get at. Like you want to be very precise or succinct, I guess.
Yeah. There is a difference between a one-on-one sit down
right.
and a one-on-one where you meet them in the elevator, which is the idea behind right. the elevator pitch. And they exactly. say, oh, well, what's it about? That's the elevator pitch where you're like, exactly. oh, blah, 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 blah.
Correct. And I think with a normal pitch where you get to sit down with an agent and pitch your work, I think there's a little bit more wiggle room in there, depending on, you know, obviously what your setting is, you know, how much time are you given to pitch right. to this agent, et cetera, et cetera. Right. But I think it's going to be a little bit more than a couple sentences.
And when we talked about the conferences, when we did last week.
Yes.
Some of them were saying you had a minute to say.
True.
But that's yeah. not what you and I know, but we've only been to the one.
To one conference. Correct.
I mean, we go to yeah. it over and over, but it's the same people that put it on. So the format's the same every year.
Right.
So
right.
yeah, you will need to know what you're pitching to.
Correct. And the setting of the pitch and you know, how much time and
yeah. So take all of what we say with a grain of salt, because you're going to have research to do on your own.
I feel like that's our advice every episode. Just take what we say with a grain of salt. Don't listen to us, but listen to us.
Yeah, you know? Listen to us, but don't listen too hard.
Right, right.
Okay, so a pitch gives your audience a clear and immediate gist of what your novel is about. Okay, that right, one's okay. Yeah. This one says, you've got less than a minute to convince me your story is worth my time. What do you tell me? You've got to pique my curiosity with mystery and potential while still conveying the bulk of the plot, theme, and general tone.
See, and that's again, I'm getting at the, like, it's an elevator type pitch. I know an yeah. elevator is like way less than a minute or whatever, but
right.
you know, I still feel like that's not enough time to really, and like mm-hmm. you said, you know, we only know the writer conference that we've been to. So mm-hmm. potentially it is normal for a 1 minute pitch session. I don't know.
That
just seems very short. Yeah.
I mean, we had a hard enough time coming up with what we did.
Yeah.
So, you know, people, I guess the point that they're trying to get is if you don't grab their attention fast being the relative term, then you're going to lose your audience. I guess Absolutely. Is what they're saying.
Yeah.
Says it's basically when you tell an agent or publisher what your book is about in a way that entices them to ask for your manuscript. Now that definition I like.
Yes. Yeah. No, one, I agree. I think yeah. that's a great definition.
I think that is it 100%. What it is not is a query letter. A query letter. You're making fun of my emotions yeah, here.
You're not supposed to pay attention to my making fun of you. Don't worry about it.
A query is a professional business letter that introduces your work to an agent or editor.
Right.
And these days, of course, it's done by email rather than snail mail.
Well, and even not only email, I think we've done an episode on, we've done an episode on writing query letters. I don't know that we've done one on like sending them, whatever.
Which we should have, but. I mean, sure, we should have included
and it might have
that.
Been a part of it. There's Maybe. Probably bits and pieces of doing that because we also say how to find an agent. So we probably did it in that episode too. But, you know, there are query tracker forms where you submit a form rather than
yeah.
an email.
Mm-hmm. It's an app, so that's probably actually the way you're going to have to do it.
You know, some people do prefer emails. I've sent several emails because that's what
really?
The agent prefers. Yeah.
I think the latest ones that I've done, but those have been query letters, but, that's what we're talking about. Okay. So I've had more than a half. Okay. That is the way I've done it lately is like, we would go to the pitch sessions. Don't laugh at me.
I've got to.
We go to the pitch sessions and they're like, yes, I want to see your work. Send us 3 chapters or whatever.
Right.
And it has been some kind of, what did you call it?
It's query tracker. They use
query
forms.
Tracker. It's yeah. on the internet, on the interweb.
That was email.
The world
but, okay,
wide web.
Listen, don't it. No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Let's move on. we'll maybe do an episode on query tracker and that kind of stuff.
Okay. A query letter is more in depth than a pitch. It will have something like a pitch. It'll have the hook, which you talk about later.
A query letter.
I'm sorry. I'm having a good time now, y'all.
It's good.
The query letter will also contain an introduction and the author's bio or credentials, and it'll be about a page long, which is generally more information than you're going to get into. It's different than the pitch.
It's very different. And we'll talk, obviously this whole episode is about a pitch. We'll talk a little bit more about, like, you know, what agents might expect from a pitch.
Right.
And that kind of thing.
So when do you pitch? Now, okay. So nonfiction, which I don't know if we have any nonfiction writers.
We might.
Nonfiction, you usually do a book proposal before you finished your manuscript. That because, and I don't know why, that's just the way it is. You generally don't do that with fiction. But some writers recommend writing the pitch before you write your book. Not pitching the pitch to an agent, but writing the pitch.
Right.
In screenwriting, they call this writing the poster first, which I'm not a screenwriter, so I didn't know it. I didn't know that. In online sales, it's called creating the landing page first.
I didn't know that either.
Don't know that. In business, it's called beginning with the end in mind, which that I understand that concept.
Right.
Crafting the pitch first forces you to think through the big picture of your book ahead of time. And that is particularly helpful for authors who write like me by the seat of their pants. The book's pitch acts like the puzzle box guiding you as you craft your story.
Right. So, like, we've done episodes on outlining before, but that's not quite what this is. Like, this is, you know, not really an outline, but like a guide, I guess.
I guess it, to me, that's too constraining to do the pitch. To do
the pitch. Yeah.
I mean, my characters, I think everybody's characters have minds of their own. And if I try to stick with the pitch, that's the same problem I have with outlining, honestly. The characters, I might not be able to go down that detour that ends up being the perfect thing for my book.
Right.
But I think it is an excellent idea to have a potential pitch. I don't have a problem with writing something like a pitch prior to writing your book. I just don't think it's not going to be the same pitch. You're not going to write the pitch before you write the book and have that pitch be the same pitch that you're going to go to an agent with later. I don't think.
I don't necessarily think so either. Cause even as someone who, like, well, I attempt to outline, I guess I'm not a strict outliner, but, you know, I do have an idea of where I want my story to go. So I could potentially write a pitch, you know, before I ever start writing the story, cause I have an idea of how I want it to unfold.
Right.
But I do think along the way, my characters do change things. I think you're right. It's going to end up changing afterwards, and that's not a bad thing.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think in cases like that, you know, it's great to adjust as you go and discover new things about your story. It, obviously, like you said, things are going to change and you'll just rewrite the pitch later. And that's not bad.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think, like you said, it's a guide for us as we write our novels. I mean, so I'm not saying, oh, don't do that. I think it's a great idea. In fact, do it. It's a great idea to have what you think before you start your novel, what you think it's going to be. So do that, but it's not the end all and don't feel like you're bound to it.
Because
I wrote this pitch and this is what I'm going to be pitching to agents. So I can't, you know, don't think that way.
That can change. That can absolutely change.
The next time to when to pitch would be, of course, after you finished your book.
Right.
And I think this is a must, whether you have pre-written a pitch or not, you know, whether you did that little I still think you're going to end up rewriting your pitch at the end. You're going to need to tweak it to fit what actually happened in your book, because even the most rigid outliner is going to have changes that they didn't expect. Our characters are living, breathing creatures that do things we don't expect them to do.
Listen, I was trying to do an experiment the other day where it required like a lot of intense focus. I had to keep track of like specific numbers and letters and like that kind of stuff as I was going. And it takes about 2 hours or whatever. And in the middle of all of that, my characters decided to start talking to me. And I was like, you guys need to shut up. I was like, I gotta focus on this right now. So definitely characters have a mind of their own. I think they're definitely going to change the story to however they decide to do things. And you might have an idea at the beginning and you might have a pitch in mind, and they might completely flip that on its head. So,
yeah. I mean, the whole point of a pitch is the hope that the agent or publisher is going to request your manuscript. That's what you want.
Right.
So right. you have to, the part about finishing your book, don't be 3/4 of the way finished. Don't be, oh, I can get this done if they say they want it. Don't.
I've done that and it's horrible. I've done that.
I did that too. And I ended up getting rejected because I could not get it finished in time. She's like, this isn't a complete book. And I like, I, but it will be. And so don't do that.
Right. Absolutely.
Have it done. And in fact, have it done and as edited and as finessed as you can possibly have it before you pitch it, because they might say right then, give it to me.
For sure.
And you have to be able to give it to them. You can't say, oh, I'll get it to you in 2 weeks. That isn't going to fly. They're going to then know that you're full of shit. Okay, see?
It's not PG anymore. There you go. Wow.
So yeah, be prepared. You know, they may ask for it right then.
Right.
Okay. Before you write the pitch, know who you're pitching to. And I actually learned this from you. You taught me more about this angle of pitching, even though I have been writing since long before you were even born and sending manuscripts out and that kind of thing. You taught me to look at it. I was just doing these mass. They publish fantasy. Let's send it to them. And you taught me, know who you're pitching to.
Yep.
Read their query submission guidelines. If they don't publish romance, then don't send them a freaking romance.
Right. Yeah. There's no point in pitching someone a romance.
It's a waste of their time and your time.
It's honestly probably even worse to pitch to someone who is not interested in what you're looking for, because they're going to be like, you'll get to see their face as they're like, I don't want your stuff. Like, I don't.
That's a crushing thing to see.
It really is. It is.
I mean, we've all gotten rejection letters. Okay. And we open it and we're like, oh, darn. But seeing that face where they're like, this sucks is like heart wrenching.
Yeah. Not very fun. I do have a tip on this though.
Okay.
Manuscript wish list is a very good resource.
I don't know that one. What is that?
So a lot of, and I'll need to double check that that's actually what it's called. I'm pretty sure it's Manuscript Wishlist. It's a website where most of the agents that I've been interested in list their interests and what they're looking for in submissions. And they specifically list out, hey, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for Southern Gothic. I'm looking for urban fantasy. I'm looking for fantasy. I'm looking for a thriller, you know, like that kind of stuff. And specific elements, they'll list out like, I'm looking for this really weird specific thing. It has to have butterflies, but also magic and also blah, blah, blah. And they'll list that. And they're, and you know, you can decide to go and write a story specifically about that to fit that.
That's brilliant. I'm writing that down because I didn't know about that one.
Manuscript
wish list.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. It's been a while. I haven't been in the submission game for about a year.
Because you keep writing all your books.
Because I'm in grad school and I'm trying to graduate.
Oh, yeah. That graduation thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think after I graduate, I'll get back into it. But, you know, we did an episode on finding agents and we probably talk about it a little bit there. That's episode 21 for anybody who's interested in.
That was a long time ago.
I know we could probably redo it and do it better, but that's fine.
I think that goes for all of our early stuff. We had no idea what we were doing.
I agree. But so, you know, just know who you're pitching to, who you want to pitch to. The conference that we go to lists out all the agents that are there for pitching. So, you know, if you ever get an opportunity like that, go and Google the agent, make sure that you're within their bounds of submissions.
Yeah. I mean, if you really want to impress them, familiarize yourself with a couple of the authors that they represent.
Yeah. For sure.
And you can say, oh, I'm a big fan of your author, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're going to be going, okay, she knows who I am. She knows who I represent. She knows what type of book I like.
Right.
You know, so research them, follow their Twitter. This is another thing you taught me.
That's a big one.
Even think of that. Read their tweets. They, you know, read anything you can find on them. And this will give you insight, number one, as to whether they're right for your book. And number two, what they're looking for.
Absolutely. They, so I mentioned manuscript wish list. A lot of agents that I follow on Twitter, at least, will post what they're looking for specifically.
And it, what again, they're not looking for.
They do.
I don't want vampire books. Do not send me a vampire book. Yeah,
for sure. No, Twitter is a great resource for that kind of thing. Agents are always looking for, you know, anything on there. They like to post what they want so that they actually get submissions that they'll be interested in. So,
yeah, sure. I think the most common way to pitch is at a conference like this. You actually sign up ahead of time for a meeting. So, you know who it is you're pitching to, which gives you the time to do the research.
Yeah. You
know, don't just walk up to an agent and throw your pitch at them. You know, like at these conferences, they're milling around, they're at the bar, and don't just go, oh, blah, 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 because, oh my God, they put that all the time. Do not do that.
They're not going to want that.
If you don't have an appointment, I mean, if you are at the bar with them and they're like, you know, so what are you here for? And what type, you know, if they ask you, great, go for it. And that's where that elevator pitch comes in handy.
Yes.
Because, you know, especially if you've had two glasses of wine or a cocktail and you're like, oh shit, you got to memorize those things and, you know, do that, you know, all is well if they ask for it.
Right.
All right. So how do you write the pitch? So the pitch has got to answer the question, why should I read this book? That's what the agent's looking at you doing.
Absolutely.
And it is kind of intimidating. You go in and you sit at this table, at least the way we've done it.
It's very intimidating.
They're across from you at this table and they're just sitting there and you sit down and it's up to you generally to start it. I mean, sometimes they take mercy on you and they're talkative people and they're like, so tell me, you know, what have you got?
Sometimes
to
they just stare at you though.
But they do. And that is the most horrible feeling. And they're just staring at you and your mind goes blank and you're like, oh my God, what was I supposed to say?
Yep.
I mean, I remember the last conference we went to, we practiced and practiced and practiced to each other over and over and over. And you get in there and it all just goes out the window and you're like, well, fuck, I don't know what to do now. But that's what you're trying to answer for them is, why should they read my book?
Yep.
It needs to be brief. Obviously, you've only got whatever amount of time you're given. Right. It's not a book report. You know, a book report is where you have to prove to the teacher, I really read this
book.
So you're throwing all this shit in there going, see, I read it. I know all these things. The pitch is supposed to make somebody curious. You want to, and I love this. I got this from authormedia.com. This is how they put it. And I think this is brilliant. You want to infect your listener with the sickness of curiosity so that the only prescription that will cure their curiosity is to read your book.
Nice.
How brilliant is that?
That's a good sentence.
That was a great sentence. So that was from authormedia.com. Brilliant.
Nice. Yeah, I love that.
Another site that I went to said, you've got to get across the heart of your story. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to put it. I mean, for sure. But
we all know that, but what is that? So, you know, this is the most difficult thing. Because most well-written books have elements throughout and subplots and character arcs and minor characters. And the minor characters are important because it lends to the big plot. You know, how do you narrow this down? And it's really especially hard for us authors to narrow our own book down.
Yeah.
Because every word we've written means so much to us. That's why we have trouble, you know, cutting things. That's why I have to save the parts that I cut, even though I know I'm never going to use them. I can't delete them.
Right. Right. You know,
so you've got to narrow it down to the very essence of your book, which I find extremely, extremely difficult.
And I, like you said, I think most authors probably do.
I think so. Yeah. It's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself, you know, to help you do this, ask yourself, why did I write this book? Why am I writing it? And that's a great way to see what might be at the heart of your novel.
Yeah. The first thing that I thought of was themes. You know, think about the themes mm-hmm. in your novel. It's a really great way to get across the ideas that you want to portray with your story. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that might also help you decide where to focus your pitch. You know, this is a story of love and death. This is a story of adversary, you know, that kind of stuff.
That's a very good idea. If you've got a theme, that's probably the heart of your story. So definitely.
Right.
You know, what do you say when your friends ask you what your book is about? We all, you know, we're writers. So our friends are all going to go, what are you writing this time? What do you say to them? That's another way to look at, you know, what is it? What do you tell your friends? What is it that you tell them? You don't include the subplots and the plot twists usually.
Right. I mean, yeah. Right. And, you know, another thing, you don't tell them the end, you know, that's kind of what the synopsis is for.
Yeah.
You know, if they ask you to submit your work, they'll probably ask for a synopsis, you know, so just be aware. You don't want to include all of the nitty gritty things. You want to get kind of the overall, like, well, what is this about?
But not exactly like the book blurb on the back of a book. I read that
a little bit. Yeah.
It's similar, you know, because that's what we, as readers in the bookstore, we pick up a book, we look at the back of it, we read the blurb. It's the same type of thing. They're trying to convince us as the buyer of this book to buy that book. So we're trying to do the same thing with the agent or publisher to get them to take our book.
Right.
So there's several formulas that I came across.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's one. And it says, when hypothetical situation, blank, you all can't see me. Well, the ones watching me can, but
when a hypothetical situation happens,
then the only way that the main character can solve the issue or whatever is to assumption.
Right. And then you fill in the blanks. Right.
Yeah. With your piece.
Right.
Another formula, and this one was by Dwight Swain. And I forgot to put the names of the people that came up with all these other formulas.
Oh.
But Dwight Swain did this one. I know that. Sentence one is a statement that establishes the situation, character, and objective. And sentence two is a question that nails down the opponent and the disaster.
Nice. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Here's another formula. When opening conflict happens to characters, they must overcome conflict to complete their quest. And you fill in your information.
Also very good. Yeah.
And then here's the last one is the hook, the book, genre, comps, and word count, and a bio.
That is okay. You mentioned word count, and I think that is very important to bring up. Every agent is going to be curious about what your word count is on your novel.
Good point. And not only that, they have minimums and maximums already listed that you've done your research on because we told you to. That tells you, you know, and don't think, but my book is so good, it's going to be okay that it's only 70,000 words and they want 100,000, or it's 300,000 words and they only want 100,000. Don't do that.
Right. An agent will probably not care. They're going to say, oh, it's 150,000 words when the genre is typically 90,000. They're going to be like, you don't know how to cut things. And that's not necessarily bad.
After you have been published and are J.K. Rowling, then they're going to go outside of their norm because you've got a history.
Right. Right.
But you can't just say, well, I don't know that isn't always true. We met in our very first conference. We met a friend that was at our conference in Atlanta, and her book was longer than what was wanted in the wish list. It was emotional and personal. I don't want to get into Dawn. Do you remember?
Yeah. Of course I remember Dawn.
Okay. So I don't want to get into details and things, but I think she's now been accepted.
Cool.
I think her manuscript has been accepted and it was very good. The pieces I've read of it are very good. And it was outside what was expected for a particular genre, but
it's absolutely not impossible.
Correct. Right. It's, you know, so take it all we say with a grain of salt.
Absolutely. Right.
Okay. So the goal of the pitch is to hook the reader So you want to give away little details that give a sense of your characters, your world, the conflict, the idea of how your book is special, but you don't want to give away too much. It's a tease. That's what you're trying to do. It's a tease. You know, I already said to think of it as the book jacket blurb.
Right.
A pitch should be in third person and present tense. There are some exceptions to this rule, depending on, you know,
I think with a pitch, especially because you're not going to probably talk to an agent in the first person as your character. I think that would be very difficult to pull off. I don't know if it's ever happened before. I'm sure it has.
I mean,
there might have been successful, but there are
exceptions. You know, you might knock the socks off somebody, but I think it's a better.
I think it'd be more ideal for a query than a pitch. Mm-hmm. Because you can definitely do first person for a query. I think it would be way more difficult for a pitch for sure.
Which brings us to the hook that you were talking about.
Yes. So the hook, this is kind of the piece of your pitch that's going to promise intrigue. You know, it's going to promise entertainment, and it's going to make your agent or whoever you're pitching to curious. You know, because you want to make your reader go, oh, that's really interesting. I want to know what happens. Yeah,
I want to know more.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So think about these five things when you're trying to come up with your pitch. You want to show to the agent your character. Who is your character? You know, think of an adjective that might describe them best. Mm-hmm. What is your character's desire? What do they want? That's going to be really important for the story. What's their opposing force? Think of your antagonist. You know, what are they fighting against and what are they up against in order to get what they want? And how do they overcome that? What's the struggle there? How do they go up against this antagonist? Okay. And what are the stakes? What are they going to lose? You know, potentially lose if they don't do this correctly, or if they do this correctly, what are the stakes of the story? Mm-hmm. And those are going to be the five things that any agent's going to want to hear. They want to know, you know, who's the character, what do they want? Why do they want it? Why do they care?
How are they going to get it? Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And the stakes, I think the stakes are huge. And I think we've had an episode on stakes, but I can't remember right
now. If we haven't, we should.
We absolutely should.
I'm going to write that down.
Do that.
Whether I'll find these notes later, I don't know, but I'm going to write it down.
You know, we'll get there eventually someday. Some agents are also going to have questions for you about your novel and work. You know, I pitched my novel at one of our conferences and she immediately followed up with a question that was outside of the pitch. And I was like, oh, okay. And then answered that question. And it was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
A lot of the agents that I interacted with also asked me about myself. So just kind of be prepared to be a little personable. I'm not a super personable person. I feel like at least. Okay. Fair enough. But, I don't know. I feel like I'm a little more, especially when trying to pitch a work, you know, that I want to get published.
When you're
shy.
Terrified sitting there in front of somebody staring at you. Yeah, I get it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it kind of threw me off guard where they're like, oh, well, what do you do? And I was like, I'm a neuroscientist grad student. Why do you want to know about that? but yeah, so it's, you know, just be prepared for, you know, questions that your agents that you're pitching to will ask, and just be prepared to answer anything. And, you know, you guys know your stories, you guys will be fine. Mm-hmm. Don't be nervous. I absolutely was when I know.
We were terrified.
Yes.
And I will be terrified every time, probably.
I think I feel a little bit better after pitching at that first conference, because I've only pitched at one conference. And, you know, I've pitched to three agents, but like, it was still, the only one that I've done. I think I'd be a little bit better since talking to one of the agents, because the way that she looked at things, and I've talked about it a little bit on this podcast before, was she was not the correct champion for my work or whatever.
Yes.
I love the way that she put that, because, you know, they're looking for work that matches their style, something that they would be able to market, something that they could take on and promote to publishers. And so that it goes the same for you. You're looking for an agent that matches you. It's for you. You're trying to hire this person to sell your work. So look at it that way. You know, what agent is going to match you the best. And, you know, so don't be too nervous. You feel free to ask your own questions. You want to find somebody that also matches you.
Yeah, for sure. I think fiction writers sell the story itself as opposed to nonfiction writers.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing. I don't think we probably have any nonfiction writers that listen to this because we're primarily fiction.
Right. Well,
yeah, we are 100%
fiction. We are 100% fiction.
But fiction writers should sell, fiction writers should sell the story. You know, where is it set? Who's the main character? What's the incident on which the whole story will hinge?
Yes.
Some agents actually look at the pitch from a publicity standpoint. Do you have a blog? Right. Do you have a social media account? How many followers do you have? You know, what are you leveraging for them for this book?
Right, right.
Also, how does your story compare to other recent bestsellers? You might hear people pitch like their own stories in a combination with other books. Like, my story is sort of like The Hunger Games meets The Goldfinch, but set in a lunatic asylum in the 1860s Britain. I mean, that's interesting. That's a very good pitch, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And that kind of leads me on to like what the elevator pitch might be, because you just, you summed up a story in a very in
one sentence. Yeah.
Right. In a very short number of words, a very limited number of words, I guess would be the better way to say that. Don't laugh at me. I've had some wine.
I know. Look at my face. I'm purple. Wow.
Yeah.
It matches my shirt. My shirt is purple. My face
a little
is
bit,
purple.
A little bit.
My wine is purple.
You're getting good job. List everything that's purple.
I'm coordinated. Hey, well, not coordinated. I'm color coordinated.
You're
I'm not
color coordinated
in other ways. Hence the falling down the stairs and breaking my foot. But okay.
Wow.
Elevator pitch.
I'm going to talk about an elevator pitch. So you've obviously heard this term before. My notes said you may have, but we definitely talked about it earlier in this episode. Mm-hmm. So what is an elevator pitch? Is it the same thing as like a general pitch? And the answer is no. Mm-hmm. An elevator pitch is the term given to like a sales pitch, essentially, that could in theory be delivered in the space of time of a short elevator ride.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like a 30-second pitch. Like you have an elevator ride to get this person interested in your book. Mm-hmm. So there are a few guidelines out there for this. Keep it to 20 words or less. You know, you're not going to be able to deliver a whole paragraph in the span of an elevator ride.
Yeah. Don't get off. Wait, I'm not done.
Right. Like ride back up the floor.
Let's go back downstairs.
Floor with me. Right. Right. So that's not going to work. So keep it short. Be original. You want to catch their attention, you know, something new, something interesting. Make it memorable, you know, so an astronaut seeking to survive, you know, a woman who fakes a murder, an ordinary boy, an orphan, you know, going to an extraordinary school. I bet you guys can guess which stories those
Harry
are.
Potter.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so the result of all of that essentially should be, oh, tell me more. You want the person that you're telling this pitch to. Oh, I want to hear more about that. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about that story. So provide all of that relevant information. You want to get across the important elements of your story to make someone interested in reading it, and open the door for further discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I had a thought here. So this style of pitching actually reminds me of, the events on Twitter, like pitch events.
Yeah.
So there's like Pit Mad. And there was dark pit. I can't remember Pit Dark or something like that. It's been a long time since I've done those events, but
we need to do those more
after I graduate
in our spare time. Yes.
Yeah. Cause I actually enjoy doing them. They're very fun.
They
and you also
fun.
Get to see a lot of really cool stories that are coming out, with people who are pitching as well. But these pitch events on Twitter are, you know, you come up with one tweet to get across the premise of your story.
So
tweets are not long.
Yeah. You're not just bound by the number of words. You're bound by the number of characters.
Of characters. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult. I remember, you know, coming up with my own, and it's very difficult to do. You know, I've gotten
super
myself
hard.
a few likes, but you know, it's difficult, but it's a really good exercise, I think, to boil down your story into its core elements.
Yeah, definitely a good exercise to help you write a real pitch.
Yeah, for sure.
I have my Twitter pitch. for frickin' fairies. It was when frickin' fairies upend her life, giving her the sight and landing her in a heap of trouble with the Fae, an Atlanta bookstore owner finds herself jinxed, owned by an elf, and smack in the midst of Fae politics while trying to save the fairies and her own life.
Nice. Yeah.
And that fit within the characters that I could do on a Twitter pitch.
Yeah, I should have looked up mine.
You should have.
Yeah, I didn't think about it, but maybe I'll give that to you guys at some point. But
yeah, for sure. And then I looked up Masterclass. You know, we always talk about
We love Masterclass.
Yeah. They said agents aren't just looking to publish your book; they're looking to represent you as a writer.
Right.
So they're going to want to know, have you published before? Where have you published? Have you gotten any awards or recognitions? Which for us is all no.
Right.
They're going to want to know that you've got more than one book in you. So what other ideas do you have? Is there a second book? The goal here is to show that you're not just serious about this one project, but that you could have a long and fruitful career ahead of you, that they'll be with you all the way through.
Absolutely.
Now, I've been told the opposite of this. You know, you're here to sell this book. Don't be talking about other books.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
But Frickin' Fairies is the first of a series. And so I feel like it is important for me to mention that I do have other books down the road. I've already got, you know, the outline that I don't do much of an outline. I've got a premise and I've started the second book, Dern Dragons, you know, and I told them my marketing scheme for those books. I think that's appropriate, although I'm not published yet. So,
I agree though, you know, during one of my pitches, she asked, you know, is this a series potential project? And I said, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Because all of mine are. And you know, she was like, cool. Okay. That sounds good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, you can either wait for the agent to ask, or you can put it in your pitch. I think either way, it's probably not going to be the thing that cuts your throat. So
yeah. Yeah. Know how your book is different from other books on the market. The market gets saturated. So
it sure does.
Think about how overdone vampires and werewolves have been since the Twilight era.
There's still new twists on those.
There are. Yes. But be prepared to explain how it's different, because they're going to hear vampire and you need to be able to say, yeah, but, and explain how it's different. Be prepared to tell them how it's original, something that will be worth their while to go into that overused genre or whatever it is. And then, like you said earlier, be prepared to answer questions. This isn't just word vomit at the agent. That agent is in person. There's going to be interaction. They're going to ask you, you know, questions. They're going to want to see how your book and you fit in with them. This is a relationship that we're looking at. So, and that's something also that might help you not be as nervous, is you're interviewing them too.
Right.
You're looking for a partner as well. And if you, if you don't like their personality,
you can say no.
You can say no. Even if they want you, you may know, I don't trust this person. I don't like this person. You know, say no. And that's okay.
Yep.
If they do say no, instead of just sitting there looking at them for the next 5 minutes that you have in your 10-minute, you know, schedule, learn something. Ask them, you know, well, while I've got you, what is it? What are your pet peeves? What is it that would turn you off when you're reading a manuscript? What are you looking for? You know, ask them, use this time to learn from, you've got an agent sitting in front of you, you know?
Absolutely. So, absolutely. I agree. Yeah. That's all I had on pitching.
Me too.
Nice. I do have an interview question for you though.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this one could be potentially useful for our listeners. You know, our other ones can be, you know, silly and whatever. But what was something that you wish you knew before you pitched for the first time?
Oh, that's a good one. I wish that I remembered, or that someone had reminded me, that these agents are people.
Yes.
You know, that this is someone that I'm interviewing as much as they're interviewing me. You know, we are all like, okay, I want someone to publish me, just publish me. But this agent is going to be a partner for a long time. Right. And that makes it a whole lot less scary because we have things that we need in a person that's going to represent us as well. It's not all about us being at their mercy. We need to be aware that they need to be right for us and our book.
I agree. Well. Yeah. Honestly, that's my answer as well, is just really? To remember that, yeah, to just remember, you know, you're not going in there to sell just your book, but you're looking for someone who can represent your book.
Yeah.
And someone and that you're us, all, right. That's what I'm saying. Books.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody that you're comfortable with giving your work to, you know, market it, to mm-hmm. pitch it to other publishers, you know, so you're, like you said, you're looking for a partner in, you know, publishing. It's for you as much as it's for them. And mm-hmm. and that's the whole, that's what I wish I knew, because I would have been a lot less nervous, I think, going into pitching.
Although I'm still going to be nervous. I mean, there's no question.
I think some nerves are good, but I think like knowing like, hey, is this agent good for me? I want to ask my questions too. Mm-hmm. I would also go in there with questions prepared, I think.
Yeah. Two-way street. It's not just us at their mercy.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. So I agree with you. I think that's my answer as well, is just, okay. You know, make sure that you know that you're looking for someone to represent you. You're not just looking for somebody to publish your work.
I thought your thought might be that you should get drunk and write it the night before the pitch, like you did with mine.
No, not quite. I had mine well prepared before that. So
yeah, but you wrote mine the night before and you were drunk. So, and it was a good pitch.
You didn't get published off of it though, did you?
No, but I did get a request for the 3 chapters.
I mean, I guess. Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I do have a sentence challenge for those of you who are interested. Don't laugh at me. So basically, I'm going to give you the sentence and use it in a piece of work. I usually limit myself to one page of a new work to challenge myself to get a story down within that short amount of time. So the sentence for this week is, you have 3 minutes to convince me I should listen to you.
I like that.
So have fun with that. I think that would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was very fitting for our pitch episode.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You're going to do the outro.
You're going to make me do the outro.
Yeah, okay. Cause so I don't have it written down. So,
well, I don't either. Let's see how this goes. Thank you guys so much for listening. That one is not hard to remember. We really appreciate you guys so much. Follow us on all of our social media. We have all the good stuff, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, et cetera, Twitter, all of that jazz. You can find all of those links also on our website, eatdrinkwritepodcast.com. Another good way to support us is through our Patreon. So patreon.com/edwpodcast. We appreciate all of the Patreons we have thus far. We've gotten really good ideas from you guys. You guys have been really great supporters. We just appreciate you guys so much.
We definitely do. Y'all are great.
Is there anything else?
Leave us reviews.
Go leave us reviews. That's also a really great way to support us. If you don't want to support us through Patreon, go leave a review. Those would be really great. It helps to get the word out there about our podcast, and we'll bring in new listeners, and you know, maybe some other writers will find something useful from us. So,
yeah. Tell people about us. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. If you guys want to get into contact with us, the best way to do that is through our email. So eat.drink.write.podcast. @gmail.com. great way to get in touch with us. We also look at all of our comments on our social media, so feel free to leave comments there. But the best way is definitely through our email.
So. And we are on YouTube too, so you can come.
Oh, we are on YouTube.
Watch our lovely faces and watch my hand motions that she makes fun of all the time. So
yeah, no, I definitely do that. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening.
All right, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.